Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. We're on this podcast. It's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about exercise and the impact of exercise on headaches and migraines. We're going to talk about the benefits of exercise and why oftentimes people with headaches or migraines have a hard time exercising. Maybe it's a trigger. Maybe you have a low tolerance to getting your heart rate up or just exerting yourself. Exercise has a ton of benefits. And so this podcast is intended to help you, the listener, break through some of those barriers you might be having, and really utilize exercise and all of its benefits while understanding some of the negatives that you might be dealing with or experiencing. So first off, let's talk about the benefits of exercise, because there are so many good things that come from exercise. And oftentimes when I'm talking to patients, they'll tell me about their exercise routine. And I think it's oftentimes potentially assumed, or maybe it feels weird for a physical therapist who is very pro-movement to be questioning different types of exercise. But it is important, and I've learned over the years that the different types of exercise and the patient and their scenario and what their body can tolerate, sometimes we need to dial it back or change it up. And so in understanding what is actually causing someone to be in a cycle of headaches or migraines, exercise comes into play here, okay? So exercise isn't just all good. There are some things that could be in the negative camp. Now, in general, so the overarching principle is that your body may not be able to meet the demand that you're asking it to go through. And so when we talk about thresholds, oftentimes we're talking about thresholds of pain, and pain thresholds can fluctuate. Now, there's another type of threshold, which is the threshold that your body has to its capability to take on stress, physical stress throughout the day. Oftentimes when we start with a patient going through a process, their ability to tolerate physical stress throughout the day is very low. So even things like driving in the car, carrying a purse, carrying a bag, moving boxes, doing yard work, these things that could be daily tasks for a lot of people, they just don't tolerate well. And so their shoulders, their neck, their jaw, like just daily activities, it's not really there. And so if we think of that and then we say, okay, now we're trying to add exercise, which could be resistance training, cardio, whatever it may be, whatever type of exercise, generally it means that we're adding another layer of load, of demand on the body, okay? Now, it's a good type of stress. It's good physical stress because it builds that threshold. It builds our body's ability to tolerate the daily activities, okay? So that is one of the benefits, that if you exercise, you're sort of pushing your body's threshold up so that the daily activities just seem to be no big deal. There's obviously a lot of cardiovascular benefits. So if you get your heart rate up and you train your heart rate to hit higher levels and the recovery period is shorter, we have, we can get into exercise science and like VO2 and VO2 max. And so there's a lot of cardiovascular benefits. We know that about 3 days or so of moderate intensity every week can basically match what like a pain medication or a migraine medication might do for you. So there's natural pain relieving benefits to exercise. We have benefits to the physical body in regards to building muscle mass is what I'm trying to say. So the muscle tears down, rebuilds. You're physically stronger. You're more toned, and your body's actually able to better cope with sugar. There's almost this element of a carryover from just having more muscle mass within your body to like general health benefits. That we've also got improved health to joints, tendons, ligaments. So the body's always adapting and changing to physical stresses. So the bone is always, the bone cells are replacing themselves. Tendon is responding to stress. Ligament is responding to stress, and they're becoming stronger. So you're just physically improving all of those different types of tissues and the bones themselves. It also gets us out of sedentary positions. The body's meant to move. We're meant to use these the structure that we have, the muscles that we have. They're not meant to just sit in one place. We know that if we don't use muscle over time, it actually turns into fat. It's really interesting. It's called sarcopenia, and it's as we age, we get more sedentary, and muscle tissue ends up being fat tissue. And so, just because someone appears to be skinny, the muscle to fat ratio can be changing, and that has implications on someone's health. And so, exercise shifts that in the positive direction. We want the good, weight, and we want the to get out of that sedentary position to prevent again that sarcopenia. If you're interested more in that, I would look it up. It's really fascinating. Tolerating daily activities, like I said before. The minor stuff starts to feel easy. If you go and you do a really intense workout in the morning, or you're lifting weights, then I would imagine like moving boxes, taking the trash out, doing yard work, it just doesn't feel as challenging. We also get the benefit of energy levels improving, mental clarity. You're sharper. You're present. Your mind is, you're better able to focus throughout the day. General quality of life will improve with regular exercise, and helps regulate sleep-wake cycles. So if you teach your body what it means to be awake, and you fatigue your body, and then it realizes, okay, I need to rest, generally you'll get a deeper form of sleep. So there are definitely more benefits than that, but those are the ones that came to mind in structuring this podcast. And I, as a physical therapist, our whole most of our focus is in teaching people how to move. And so exercise is, it's an intentional movement, especially in our society where we don't naturally move. And so, we have gyms, we have Lifetime Fitness, we have Villa, we have, Planet Fitness. We have these places where we go to move. So we've created movement as like separate from our daily activity. Obviously, that's not everyone. There's lots of jobs that are very physically demanding. It's probably even more prudent for someone that has a physically demanding job to be in good physical shape so that they can meet the tasks of that day. But oftentimes just sitting wears on our body just as much as someone who's in a physically demanding job. And so the repetitive nature of a physical activity, or just like the repetitive nature of sitting and teaching our body just to sit, maybe a head forward position, shoulders forward, they both have their negative sort of side effects or consequences. The way to reverse that is to provide your body with all the movements that it's looking for. So if you reach forward, you should reach back. If you look up, you should look down. And we need to strengthen our body in all these different ways and utilize all the different muscle groups that our body has access to. Okay, so how do you know if exercise is a problem? This is one of the questions that also pops up quite a bit. People don't necessarily ask, like, is exercise an issue? But as I'm questioning them in when I first meet someone, or as we're trying to understand what's happening, exercise is oftentimes overlooked. And so if someone has started an intense exercise program, or maybe they haven't really exercised in a while, but then they've jumped back into something they used to do, that can be an indication or potentially a yellow flag for maybe there's something here that their body's not quite able to accommodate to. Maybe they're pushing their body physically a little bit too much right away. If you have a headache, if you have a migraine, if you have soreness, if you just feel like everything's tight and achy, especially within a 24 to 48 hour period after your exercise routine, I would connect that to your exercise. Obviously, there could be different factors in there, but if you notice that to be a pattern, so personally, if I am on vacation, I'll do a different type of exercise. Where I will turn on a YouTube video, and it's more body weight and it's high interval. I'm doing like burpees or push-ups, core, and you're just sort of always moving, going. Well, I've learned that has a relatively high demand on my neck to sort of keep my head upright in the best position as I'm going through those movements. And it also potentially has a higher demand on my shoulders. And I can feel kind of achy and off for a couple of days, maybe a little headachy. And I see that pattern in my patients as well. So again, if you jumped into a new routine, especially a new routine with a higher level of intensity, that's something to look for. And then, of course, if the pain onset is during exercise, so if you're exercising and you have like a quick onset of a headache and you kind of need to like cool down or take a break and then it calms down. I also have seen it where patients have a onset of headache like right after or maybe during, and it's with exertion. It's not necessarily like a specific exercise. It's just sort of like they're putting their body through some sort of effort. They feel the headache, and then it can take like hours or maybe even a day or so to calm down. So that last one's probably more intuitive for you because it's, you know, you're in the gym, you're exercising, and then you get a headache. So you're able to connect those. The one that's more confusing is the delay of 24 hours to 48 hours. The headache pops up and you don't necessarily connect it to your exercise, and you're sort of, to some sense, rightly assuming that exercise is of benefit. So why would that be causing you to have a headache? Hey guys, if you are listening to this podcast, the chances are you have headaches or migraines and you're searching for relief outside of medication. Well, maybe you've tried different products on the market or devices, traction units, things like that, but they haven't really scratched that itch and provided you with the relief you're looking for. Well, what we've done here at Novera is taken the principles that we teach and abide by in our in-person care and come up with a product that allows you to apply those same pressures and improving mobility to the upper part of your neck at home. You see, it's called the SAM device, Simple Affordable Migraine Relief. And the device allows you to improve mobility to the upper part of your neck. And we are excited to announce that it's available today on our website. Visit noveraheadachecenter.com, click on the SAM device page where you can look at videos and learn more about the SAM product and purchase it for yourself and start treating your headaches and migraines more naturally without medication. Again, that's noveraheadachecenter.com, and click on the SAM device page to purchase your very own SAM device today. Okay, so what's happening here is essentially what I talked about initially, but the problem is the head sitting on a very mobile neck. Our heads weigh 10 to 12 pounds, so about the weight of a bowling ball. And as we go through life, our neck has to manage that weight. Oftentimes, it asks the shoulders to help kick in, okay? The shoulders aren't always very functional themselves. They have their own problems. This could, both the neck and the shoulders, these problems arise due to repetitive positions, sedentary lifestyle, lack of movement, trauma, small traumas that are repeated, history of concussions, all sorts of different things that can contribute to someone being in this scenario. It's a very common thing that happens. A lot of people have neck shoulder tension that they carry. I'm sure that's not a mystery to you listening to this. You probably realize that. And so what happens is your body is sort of compensating. So you're going through life, you're still reaching up overhead, you're still doing the daily tasks, you're driving your car, you're carrying the kids, whatever it is. And your shoulders have figured out how to do it, but it's not the most efficient way to do it. It's relying on your neck. Your neck is taking on more stress. Your head, it's not like it's getting any lighter, like it's still the 10 to 12 pounds. And so your neck is constantly have to managing the weight of your head. It's being pulled in from the shoulders to kind of help out. The shoulders aren't really moving like they should. And all these compensations are just there. So it's as if all these little things throughout the day, you're doing them. You're probably able to ignore the tension to some extent. But it's not, the movement's not efficient. And so if we add load onto that, we can exasperate the whole system. And then it's basically just, we start to feel a higher level of tension. So that's sort of the potential negative side of someone with headaches and migraines, and exercise. Okay. But it doesn't mean we stop exercise. We just want to work through it. And I'll give you some tips on that in a second. The other thing that could be happening is when we have headaches and migraines, the brain just becomes hypersensitive to this signal. So different tissues, different parts, like blood vessels within the brain, even the skin itself, muscle tissue, our brain can just become hyper alert to any signal coming from this area. And so this is more in the camp of when you exert yourself, and if you feel a headache come on with just exertion, it's not really in a particular type of exercise. It's just you bear down, you're pushing the weight up, you're doing the leg press, whatever it is. I would contribute that to more of a, your brain is getting sort of this sense of there's something happening, there's pressure increasing, and these areas in your brain are already hypersensitive, and that just triggers both on the physical side, like increase in physical stress, but also on the vascular side. And so there's just this quick uptick of input, your brain takes it, and it says, okay, the head's going to hurt. All right. So some of the things to tips to look out for. So how do you actually exercise if you're seeing this connection between exercise and your headache, or if you're thinking, you know, maybe exercise is contributing to this and I need to dial it back. So the first thing is just that. Start small. Walking is a great way to just get movement. Just starting with movement is fantastic. So you don't necessarily have to, you don't have to think resistance training. You don't have to think like, oh, I need to, you know, push weight or pull weight to the point where my body's exerted and it's failing, meaning like, you know, one rep max or something like that. Even just moving. So if you're like, okay, I'm going to get into exercise and you have not exercised, I would suggest, you know, maybe start with walking, do the elliptical, jog, do some lower intensity sort of movement. That way just your joints start moving, your muscles start engaging, but you're not going to ask them to do too much right out of the gate. The other thing is to watch out for positions where your head is dependent on your neck, meaning, okay, you're doing a sit-up and you're not cradling your hands behind your neck, like your head's just hanging out there. Your neck is going to have to do a lot of work to keep your head upright. Planks are another one, so your head's just kind of hanging out there with planks. I've heard downward dog. I've never actually participated in a bar class, but it tends to pop up. People that are in bar classes, my perception of it is you're like holding positions and kind of pulsing. And especially when you're in like a doing core and you're pulsing and your neck is just really trying to keep your head up. Definitely watch out for that. I have had people, that I've worked with and they're in bar and they have this headache that just keeps popping up, and we've had to connect the dots and say, maybe we try a different form of exercise, and they did, and they felt way better. Okay. So I think bar is, has all the physical benefits of exercise. So like, bar overall is a good thing. It's just, if your neck isn't capable of handling those positions, you might want to rethink it or modify. Watch out for too much load on the shoulders. So like I said, the shoulders might not be moving as efficiently as they could or should. And so if you do like overhead press or, I don't know, shrugs, or if you're just lifting dumbbells, heavy dumbbells, that could be enough so that your shoulders start to feel an added level of tension. Now, building up shoulder tolerance is good. So starting with lighter weights, maybe higher rep, not necessarily going to failure, and then repeating that activity so that you gradually build, that can be a better way to actually improve shoulder strength. But watch out for shoulder stuff, because we see that all the time be a trigger. Another tip is body weight exercises may be the most like attainable, because you turn on YouTube and you've got like a body weight or maybe some dumbbell added workouts. So you can do them at home. They're really accessible, but it can be challenging because with those types of workouts, you've got to just like constantly be moving. You're getting higher reps. You're probably going to fatigue. And so you lose form. You're probably having to like, I don't know, jump around to some extent. I'm thinking of like burpees, but there's different movements that really just require a lot of your neck. And so I would be cautious of those, especially if you're going to fatigue and you're sort of losing your form. Again, tons of benefits as far as the cardiovascular benefits, just general exercise benefits that we went through initially, but maybe something to work up to, not start out with. Another tip, incorporating strength and cardio. So what I want to see is variety in workouts. I want you to pick something that is cardio related, so that could be the bike. If you're only doing bike though, on like a spin class or something, you're forward, you're leaning forward with your head cocked back. I generally do like spin class and the stationary bike, but just again, something to be cautious of. But cardio, so like I said, jogging, biking, whatever it may be, combined with some level of strength. And then I want the strength component to be more full body. So I have also seen it be a negative when people have a day where they're just doing shoulders, or like just doing, I mean, it could even be like just legs or something. Like, give your body a variety of things. I think especially if it's like just upper body, it can be too much. And so try to have variety in the type of exercise. And like, if you're focusing on one body, one specific area, try to just expand on that. And okay. And then we've got observe your own, observe how your body feels up to 48 hours after. Okay, so this is, again, connecting the dots between if you're just getting the benefits or if there's some of these negative things that are popping up. Up to 48 hours after, I would advise you to pay attention to how you feel. If you if you wake up one morning and you're just like, man, like everything feels achy and I kind of have a headache, I would connect that to, you know, the exercise you did within a day or so before. And then you can test this, one, by journaling, keeping track of everything, but also either removing that exercise, changing up the type of exercise, reducing the intensity. There's all these different variables, and you can kind of learn what your body's responding positively and negatively to. And then don't necessarily push it to the limit with every workout. So if you're like me and you feel like the only way to work out is just to go all out every time, I would encourage you, I'm speaking to myself here, but just to maybe dial that back. Like I said, if you're just getting into exercise, you don't have to have this high intensity, you know, go to failure type of approach. Just start with something. I would encourage it not to feel like necessarily easy, but let's shoot for moderate. And then, you know, 2-3 days a week to start, and then we can build up into potentially a daily sort of program. Okay, so there you have it. Exercise, connection to headaches and migraines, and my tips on how to enter into exercise. Understanding that there are a ton of benefits to exercise, and you should be exercising. I want you to exercise, but there are definite barriers for people with headaches and migraines that we need to overcome and at least consider. So the point of this is, again, not to stop exercising, even though there are certain scenarios where I tell my patients for a period of time, let's just stop until we can get things functioning better. So that is an option, but it really should only be an option if we're pursuing treatment, like if you're working with us of some kind, of some type or something similar, so that you're progressing, you're improving the function of your shoulders, of your neck, and then we can add the exercise back in. So exercise largely is of benefit, but you may even need to consider some of these tips if you're starting out, or if you've been in a regular routine of exercise and you're wondering, is this contributing? I would consider maybe changing some stuff up. If it sounded like some of these yellow cautionary flags I was describing you, then change it up. And also, feel free to, if you listen to this podcast, it can be interactive. I mean, reach out to us. Email us at hello@noveraheadachecenter.com. On social media, you can reach out. As always, I'd love it if you guys shared your favorite podcast with someone that you know that has headaches or migraines. I've heard that people searching for headache podcasts is the number one podcast that'll pop up. And I'm honored that so many people are listening and that we're continuing to grow. Thank you all so much. That concludes today's episode. I'll see you next week. As always, as we continue on this journey to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. I'll see you next week. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask, because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.